Welcome to the Love Cars on the Grid podcast, your global motorsport roundup with me, Tiffany Dell, and Paul Woodman.
Welcome to Love Cars on the Grid, your global motorsport podcast roundup. For those regular viewers amongst us, you may have seen we just tried to go live from I'm in the jungle and Tiff's back at home.
Yeah, what are you doing in the jungle?
Oh, well, you know what?
We missed Monday. Apologies for missing Monday first and Tuesday. And we couldn't get internet. You in the jungle, internet wouldn't work. And I was coming back from Spain. So, I'm home in England again. You still appear to be in the jungle. This little project you're working out for us, to me, to come next year.
Yeah, we're working on a really exciting project. It's don't think Top Gear when you think jungle. It's completely different. But it's all to be revealed if we can pull it off. But it looks very glamorous, but it's hard work. Anyway, back to the motorsport, because there's lots to cover and we wanted to cover it this week, even though we're late. Because we got plenty of drama going on. World Rally Championships, got MotoGP in Japan, World Superbikes in Portugal, BSB at Donington. It all seems a long time ago now because it's now Wednesday, is it? Or Thursday?
Yeah, but also an exciting weekend to look forward to. So, you know, there's a lot this week.
Mega weekend.
It just starts with the news. The news.
What have you got in news? The big one is Andretti, of course.
Yeah.
Is it going to replace a team or is it going to be a new team?
No, I don't think it'll happen. I mean, it's just the FIA have approved. So the FIA have said, the core of the FIA, they've covered the sporting, technical and financial requirements to join Formula One. Now it's over to the FOM, the dreaded Formula One, little 10-team clique, you know, run by Domenicali. And apparently the original financial thing, according to the FIA, was this $200 million compensation, because the 10 teams are going to lose prize money at the end of the year, because there'll be 11 teams cutting up the cake. So there had been this $200 million, which had been $20 million to each team to cover their potential losses. It's actually quite interesting. Just this week, Alpine have put out their profits from last year, because I've never really known how much it costs to run a team. And it cost them $170 million to run a team. So giving them $20 million is quite a generous portion of their budget, I would have thought.
So $170 million to run it. So that's their cost of sale. But what's their net profit? What's their EBITDA?
That's what made did a profit. That's that. Yeah, the article. Oh,
$170 million net profit. Wow.
No. About $40 million profit. But they earned $250 million, or maybe $70 million profit. Anyway, the numbers are about there. So it costs $170 million because they had good sponsorship this year, Alpine, and obviously had lots of money from FOM. Anyway, the FOM boys are saying that instead of $200 million, it should be $600
million. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Giving them each $60 million. Well, $60 million is about a third. That's what I was bringing up the point of the Alpine budget.
Yeah.
They want a third of their budget paid for by Andretti in order to join their little clique. I mean, hopefully, you know, some sense will be. Domenicali is the big sort of face of FOM. And he's banging on always about this added value. They've got to prove that they're adding two flipping cars to the grid. They're adding 10% to the grid, making it 10% bigger. Surely that is added value in my book, but apparently not. They've got to,
It would be fantastic to have the additional team, two more cars on the grid. It really would be good. There's a lot of talk that they might, if they do get in at all, they might be buying AlphaTauri, which seems to be quite a popular sort of move because a lot of people on the internet are saying, why should a team like Red Bull own two teams? Because effectively they're getting double bubble. They're getting all the research of two.
I like it. And they should. Yeah. Teams should own more teams. I like it. Yeah. I don't mind the Red Bull AlphaTauri. That's got another team on the grid. Without Red Bull paying for AlphaTauri when it began, there'd only be 18 cars on the grid now. So, you know, AlphaTauri have added by adding two cars. I really fear it won't happen.
Red Bull, I don't mind Red Bull full stop, despite me bitching and moaning about Max and Checo and Christian, because they sometimes wind me up a little bit. Red Bull, what they've done is just phenomenal. And for entertainment in, not this year, they've been boring this year, but phenomenal what they've achieved in Formula One.
Yeah. So that's the biggest news for Andretti. Oh, a little sidekick for Andretti. I saw Grosjean is suing Andretti for some sort of rights issue. Another little kickoff. He's been dropped by the Andretti team. They think he had a contract for next year, so he's obviously having a bit of a bitch. He hasn't got a ride. There's rumours he would have a ride, but not confirmed. So, another extra bit of American news.
I like his little press statement. press release he put out with his own little signature on there as well.
He's been represented. What else news have you got?
Formula E, you're going to like this. Formula E fan base has grown by 17% to 344 million people.
Oh, now, wow.
How do they measure this? I don't know. So Jeff Dodds, he's the Formula E CEO, his quote was, "We are well on the way to establishing Formula E as the most exciting and innovative," I can never say that word, "motorsport for fans, alongside being the world's most sustainable sport." I think he must have meant the world's most sustainable motorsport, because it's obviously not the world's most sustainable sport, because you can go and kick a football around or go surfing or something. But that's quite some statement. It's a bit delusional, actually, Jeff. Sorry, no disrespect there, but it's not the most exciting, and I don't think it will ever be the most exciting motorsport for fans ever.
No. Where they get these numbers from. More interesting, I think, the couple of big driver changes or rider changes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about MotoGP later and Rally, WRC. World Rally Championship. Both sports, big now. Marc Marquez, this was his big thing. Will he stay at Honda? He actually went to Japan, which we'll mention later, and got a podium. But still, I think he didn't feel that the bike, he tested the new Honda bike and it didn't really seem to be an improvement. So he's left Honda and he's off to one of these Ducati satellite teams, which is a Gresini team, to drive a Ducati teammating with his brother, which he actually did with Honda about 5 or 6 or 7 seasons ago when they were both on the Hondas. So that's quite big. So finally, we know where Marquez is going. And then the other big news in World Rally Championship, which we'll talk about later, is Octanac has dumped Ford, poor old Ford. He had 1 year with Ford. And of course, he's moved away. It's a bit like funny because Marquez gets a podium first for a long time, leaves Honda, and Tanak gets a win, which we'll mention later, and leaves Ford. So it's a bit of a,
thing. I love the PR spin that Hyundai are making a big fuss about. We've just signed Octanac, and isn't it great? But they failed to mention that actually he was dropped from Ford. But I think he'll do quite well there.
I think he's left Ford. He wasn't dropped by Ford, I don't think. Okay. It's his choice, I think, he was behind. He's going back to Hyundai. I mean, he left Hyundai, so he's quite happy to move away from teams.
I'm so cynical in my old age. After driving, they'd
love to have kept him.
I'm so modest.
You're a rally driver
like you.
Now.
Oh, they can rally. You can rally on these roads. It's off-roading. Don't go there, because how much I despise off-roading. But anyway, segment. Let's go to... Go on.
But just quick, so Ford say they're going to have young drivers. The one, because they've got such a low budget. So Malcolm Wilson's team that runs the Ford have announced they're going to be taking rookie drivers, which in rallying, whereas in Formula One, I say, there's not that much danger, as they like to make out, of putting rookies in, because most of the rookies that come from Formula Two do a bloody good job. But they've had a string of young Frenchmen that have been rolling their Fords into the bushes for a couple of years now. So I'm not quite sure who they're going to get. But that's their plan.
And you can still be very competitive in rallying, in your 40s, can't you? Super competitive.
Unlike
Formula One.
One more bit of news. Jess Hawkins, which that caused a bit of controversy on Twitter. I complimented the idea. Aston Martin. Jess Hawkins, not a superstar of the W Series, but one of the W Series girls that raced and was reasonably successful. But she's been working for Aston Martin, the PR department, entertaining. She's
been an ambassador.
Doing slogging around, doing the simulator stuff. So they gave her 20 laps or something in Hungary last week. And I thought it was a wonderful story. They did a great video. Jess was in tears at the end, as you imagine. She dreamed of driving. But don't worry, kids. It's not a wasted test that a young man should have had or whatever.
Irrelevant of the sex, it's not a wasted test of whoever it is, because...
No. It's a reward. A reward to her. Great PR. Exactly. Great PR. She's not going to be a Grand Prix driver. Don't worry. She's not good enough, sadly. But, she is a very good driver who hopefully gets a career in sports cars, Le Mans racing. I thought it was good news, as opposed to a lot of Twitter warriors.
Is she going to be driving the Valkyrie at Le Mans? Do you think she's going to be there?
No, they'll need really top drivers, to run it. That was more news, I forgot, this week. A lot of news this week, wasn't it? And of course, it's going to be nothing like the Valkyrie. It'll be a hypercar, called a Valkyrie, but it's been nothing like the car that they sold on the roads, because it has to fit the regulations that Toyota and Ferrari and everybody else is involved.
I just say on that Jess Hawkins thing, just to clarify, that you're a massive supporter of it, and you always have been, to get females into motorsport and more. Yeah. But I think the thing about Twitter was people were getting confused. They thought that Jess was actually going to get a Formula One drive or have the opportunity to see how good she was. But it was nothing like that at all. No. With the greatest respect to Jess, because she's a brilliant driver, she's just not on that level of where you would need to be. The Ollie Bearmans and whatever coming through. But
that's another bit of news today. Today.
Do you like that? Do you like that little segue?
The Ollie Bearman fan club. The Ollie Bearman news, because he's got two Haas FP1s coming up in Mexico and America, I think. So this Ollie Bearman, who we've been promoting about the last 4 years on this very podcast. That's good news, more good news. Ollie Bearman's going to be in a Formula One car in public at a Formula One session. So that's quite exciting. So finally, we get back to last weekend's sports. It was drama. There wasn't much sport around the world last weekend, but it was drama wherever we went. Because the World Rally Championship was over in Chile. And Octanics, we mentioned earlier, had this amazing win for the Ford Puma in the M Sport car, mainly because he did an amazing decision to go on hard tires on Saturday. The Chilean roads, everywhere else, the Hyundais went onto softs or soft and hard mixes. He was the only driver to take six hard tires for the day, and he got a big lead, which he never dropped. So amazing. So huge credit to Octanek to winning. And the Hyundais were all chasing. Timo Suninen was the nearest one because he went half hard and half soft. So it was a bit of an attrition, really, because it was all over by the Saturday because the people that chose the wrong tires, i.e. so Elfyn Evans and
what's
Robin
the surface
Pera,
like? Bit of tarmac, lot of dirt?
No, it's all dirt. Obviously, I was watching the Ryder Cup, like most people, when in Spain, when I didn't get any, couldn't get any motorsport. I haven't watched any of this. I mean, I'm only reading the stories and catching up. I did watch the Ryder Cup, which is another amazing sporting drama at the weekend, and the Europeans won. It wasn't a very exciting race. Tanik led all the way. Suninen was, but he wasn't second because he crashed. He knocked a tire. So I forgot that. He ran second and took a bloody wheel off on a tree stump on the Sunday. Which gave Thierry Neuville, who was chasing his Hyundai, the second place. Third was Elfyn Evans, and fourth was Kalle Rovanperä. So he could have clinched the championship, Rovanperä, last weekend, but he had a terrible time being first on the stages as the championship leader on the Friday and dropped a lot of time and had more problems, chose the wrong tyres on Saturday. Good congratulations, Gus Greensmith, who always makes the British driver, who came second again, just 21 seconds, I think, or 31 seconds behind Oliver Solberg. So it's funny how, you know, when they get dropped out of the WRC, as Greensmith and Solberg have, you know, they're then the top of Formula 2, so which I quite like that happening. They're all saying, you know, if only there were enough cars, it's a pretty much, you know, Ford, have Gus Greensmith and have Oliver Solberg, they're the best two WR2 drivers.
So, I mean, I guess that's good as well because it shows the gap, doesn't it? It shows that there is a gap. Well, not always. You're not always going to see it, but but because they're all bloody good drivers.
So Rovanperä didn't win the championship. So the drama really was choosing your tires on Saturday.
Where does it go next, Tiff?
I've got to go to the. Oh, now what you made me do? Crash me screen. They go next to. It's a European fix. I'm not even sure where it is, but it's right at the end of November. Big gap. And then it finishes in Japan in November.
Okay.
So I'm tilting my screen. Look, I've gone all wrong. This has been a chaotic, most chaotic podcast I've ever done.
It looks good.
It's
very
natural.
Good.
So Japan then, from Chile to Japan. Yeah, MotoGP. drama there, because it was wet and dry and wet all weekend. And in the end, Jorge Martin, who's trying to track down Francesco Bagnaia. So this is the drama of the championships building up in the next few stories we're going to talk about. He won the 12-lap sprint race, and then he won the 12-lap Grand Prix because it was stopped halfway through from pouring rain. They tried to restart, they couldn't. So he's cut the lead. Bagnaia finished second, I think, in both races. And then maybe he was sixth in the sprint and second in the Grand Prix or something like that. And the gap's just 3 points. So the factory Ducati Bagnaia that was cruising to the championship now has this satellite boy just 6 points behind. Mark Marquez got.
Here's a nice little stat. Sorry about Jorge and Francesco Bagnaia. With just those two riders have given Ducati 40 races in a row on the podium. 40 wow. races in a row, they finished on the podium. That's something else, isn't it? They're fast.
Ducati domination. And now we'll have Marc Marquez on one next year. So anyway, Brad Binder, KTM, was second in the sprint race. So a little bit of consultation with KTM, the non-Ducati boys. Moto2, bizarrely, out of the blue, the two Honda Team Asia bikes. They're not Hondas because they all run the same Triumph engine, Kalex chassis, or a different choice of chassis in Moto2. But they came first and second. The Thai rider, Somkyak Chantra, who's won before, won. And the Japanese Team Asia boy, Ai Ogura, came second. Pedro Costa cruising to the championship third. And Jake Dixon, the fourth for Britain. So the only surprise there, the drama really, was the two the Honda Team Asia supported riders suddenly back at the top of the field. Moto3, that's the championship that's really hotting up. For the second race in a row, Jaime Masia, the Spanish rider, won. And he now has moved up to the championship. The championship, the top three were covered by like 3 points. And he's now crept into the championship lead because he was second in the end. Ayumi Sasaka was second, and Daniel Holgado, the other Spanish boy, who had led the championship by miles. He's been tracked back. He was third. British boys, not that impressed. Scott Ogden, 18th. Josh Whatley, 20th. I just hope they're going to give another year, but
I hope so.
The promise from early on. So that was the MotoGP in a wet and rainy Japan. Before, go on,
where do you want to go next? Because before we go,
World Superbikes.
Okay, can I just interrupt? For those of you that are watching, this is the funniest. I'm going back. I'm sorry. I'm not with it very well. But
where are we going now?
Oktanak, very quickly, that announcement. He looks like he's going for an interview in a bank. Look.
Nice shirt.
It looks like one of yours. But anyway, let's go to World Superbikes in Portugal. Well, circuit was it? Portugal? Was it Portimao or not?
They? Yeah, Portimao.
Yeah.
Nothing. Really, the drama that championship is falling apart. There's only one round to go, and Razgatlioga, that had been trying to catch up Bautista, didn't manage to close the gap. Bautista won all three races. Razgatlioga came second in all three races.
He'll have a year next year.
Well, all changing bikes though. You see, Razgatlioga is going to BMW. Jonathan Rea, who finished third, then had a couple of clashing, smashing races. In fact, he took out the other BMW boy for next year.
I saw that. It looked awful.
He had a bad weekend, Jonathan Rea, after a promising third. It was back to the old podium of Bautista, Razgatlioga and Rea, which we used to have every weekend. So not that man. They off go off to Jerez for one to go. But that's a couple
Decent
of weeks
track,
away.
Tiff, you race there?
No, I did race there in Group C Sports because, yeah, it's quite a good track. Quite good for bikes and not that bad for cars. So, yeah, I like Harris.
I wouldn't put Group C Sports cars and World Superbikes as a good track for both.
It doesn't seem like it's the right track. A couple of reasonable S strengths into hairpin bends for overtaking. So they're both, yeah, quite good tracks. In fact, I really enjoyed it. It was the race for the Silk Cut Jaguars that robbed me of a win at Le Mans. This was 86. I was driving a March Chevrolet. And I qualified about eighth or ninth. And the three Silk Cup Jaguars all took themselves off at the first quarter of a six-hour race.
Wow.
So I drove by, seen them all in the ground. Derek Warwick was one of them. I forget who was involved. But Tom Walkinshaw wasn't impressed. A long endurance race. But it was a fascinating race. I started having fuel problems after about 3 hours. And this March Chevrolet, and eventually it cut out. And it seemed like we ran out of fuel, but it was the fuel pump that packed up. And I never realised this. When they took the tank apart, the fuel pump, which is very common in racing cars, is in the fuel, in the tank.
Wow.
So the wire to the fuel pump had fractured, right? And it was arcing, right, across. That's why it was intermittent. But the ends of the wire were charred from the sparking. But because there was no air, because it was just in the fluid that is petrol, it doesn't go boom. It's quite simple when you understand that you need oxygen with the petrol to make a bag.
Of course. Yeah.
But even so, the thought of something sparking, as you're sitting right behind you, inside your tank full of fuel. So we didn't finish. Another story of my life, but there we go. It was another race that I did.
At least that was Jerez. Gone. Yeah, Hereth. And British Superbikes in Donington.
That's a good circuit for
metabikes.
Have you read the drama? Have you want the maximum drama of the weekend? was the British Superbikes, because it was down to these two beer monster Ducati boys that were half a point apart, which is two rounds to go. Donington and then the Brands Hatch Grand Prix coming up in a few weeks' time. And I forget what happened. The first race was a downpour. And they stayed out slicks and some stopped for tyres and some started on wets. And the two boys vying for the championship, Glenn Irwin and Tommy Brightwell, finished 23rd and 24th. I think they tried to stay out on slicks. Whereas Ryan Vickers at a Yamaha, I think he put wets on early on and won the first race. Then the second race, Tommy Brightwell, that was further back because the grid is from your fastest lap in the race. He was further behind Irwin. He battled up through the field, caught up Irwin. I think they were the top three or four or five, maybe even higher. And then took him out. So teammate Bob Beer Monster Ducatis.
Did you see them in the pits? No,
I haven't. Is it on YouTube?
They were absolutely distraught, as you can imagine. So I think
Brightwell got a big grid penalty for the last race. So Irwin was now in a big chance of getting a lot of points and getting a thing in the title. Got to turn one of race three, and the bike cut out when he retired. So Brightwell then managed to battle back from his penalised grid position, wherever it was, to finish ninth. So he's got about a 6-point advantage now as they go to the Brands Hatch Grand Prix circuit. But I must go and look on YouTube. I only came back last night, so I haven't really managed to catch up on all these visions. But a lot of drama in British Superbike. So put that on your list. Brands Hatch, put it in your diary now. Where is it?
Don't forget, next week we've got a big announcement about Brands Hatch. We'll do it next week. We'll do it justice.
Anyway, October 15th. So it's in 10 days' time. Go to Brands Hatch. There's nothing else on in Britain. Go to Brands Hatch to watch the British Super. Great circuit. Fantastic to watch. So go and watch that British Superbike finale.
The British Superbikes was one of the best motorsport spectacles I've seen watching. The speed and you sense it so much more because you see this bloke go past on a bike. And you see the bike moving in the back wheel.
Oh, no, twitches. I'm their own fool.
You don't think anything of it if you get a bit of a moment, but on a bike, oh my goodness, that was amazing to watch at Thruxton when we went there. So yeah, go to Brands Hatch, please do.
They had a big race last weekend, Talladega, baby. Wasn't the drama NASCAR? The drama is it's building up to the top. Where are we now? The 12 going down to 8. So that's a huge battle going on where we're going to only have 8 left after this weekend when they go to the Roval, the road course at Charlotte. But first of all, Ross Chastain and Kyle Busch, two of the 12, both crashed out early on, not taking 20 cars with them. The big one actually never happened as they all go around in 200 mile an hour Talladega convoy. So Chastain and Busch have to win at the Roval because they can still get through if they win. If they win, you jump into the top 8. So there's been two winners so far that are definitely through. How do they do that?
So if they win, they get in the top 8, and then one person drops back. So yeah, there's only
you get pushed out. Okay. So if someone wins, that's in the top 12, because only 12 drivers are still in the playoffs from the points. So if they win, they get an automatic place in the top 8, which means only 5 will go through on points and 4 go out on points.
So what if Tiff Nadel wins in 35th place on the grid?
It doesn't matter. If you're not amongst the 12, if you're already out of the playoffs, winning won't get you anywhere. But it ended up being one of the 12. In fact, he was at the back of the 12. He'd had a bad build-up to this race, and that was, I've got the name. Reading the notes.
Denny?
Moving back.
Bubba, Denny.
The only name I haven't written in notes. I know his number. He's the 12. Oh, come on. What's the 12's name? Wow. How have I not written the name? Scribbling my notes. Oh, I can't remember all these names. Anyway, you go NASCAR points. I'll tell the story to the fans out here that are still listening.
Ryan Blaney?
Blaney. Of course, it was Blaney. So he was right at the bottom. Bad points. But he's jumped now to second because he's the second winner following the other one that won last, William Byron. So everybody else on points has been pushed down one. And it's now Brad Keselowski that's 8th on the bubble. But Kyle Larson, you know, who I said had a bad week the weekend, he crashed himself out, so he dropped a lot of points. He was trying to be conservative. He was running 4th, staying on the low line, trying to miss the trouble. And the only huge crash actually happened on the run to the finishing line, which, of course, took out Carlos. Oh, no. So he went across the line. There were about 10 cars crashing. As it was William Bauer actually pushed the winner through to the win. So about 10 cars all crashed from side by side and went across the line backwards, like sideways,
bad crash?
In the wall.
It's always bad, isn't it?
No, they still there was bad, just loads. So he actually, Carl was classified 16th instead of 4th. And that dropped, because that's 12 playoff points. Every position is a point. So whereas Carl Larson would have been 4th in the championship, safe-ish in the points, he's dropped to 7th. So he's 2nd up from the bubble at the bottom.
So this has got a Hollywood script written all over it. He's going to drop down and down, and he's going to.
That's why it works. That's why it works so well. That's why these playoffs are so dramatic and bring drama, which is why I follow NASCAR. Because, you know, the points championship's already decided, you know, ages ago. Truex thing won it. I forget. You'll forget who won the points. So, and it's a road course this week. Charlotte Roval, loads of action, pushing, shoving. Has some boring bits in the middle. Yes, the petition, you know, whatever. So that's it, NASCAR. So we had lots of drama from world rallying to motorcycles, a lot of motorcycles, weren't there? MotoGP, Superbikes, British Superbikes. Then NASCAR. And that was really all the motorsport last weekend. And now it's all happened this weekend.
We got an incredible weekend coming up. Well, say incredible, you're not going to be a fan of Qatar, but I think, it's just that
let's just talk about Qatar for a minute. The most miserable, blooming Ehrman Tilke track ever designed. Never ending turn. Then one flipping right long straight where the DRS will be on and we'll have drive-bys, because it's so hard to regulate a really long straight, how much DRS to give them. Maybe they'll reduce it, I don't know. But it's interesting because they're calling a new Qatar circuit Losail, simply because they've resurfaced it. So none of the teams know the grip factor. And they put all these curbs, recurbed it and runoffs. Because last year, it was three years ago when Losail raced, it wasn't last year, there were cars going over the curbs, and oh dear, they punctured their tires because the curbs were too sharp on the backside of the curbs. Yeah, I know. So yes, if you go off the road, you might get a bit of damage.
Yeah.
No, not allowed, kind of that. So they put in new curbs, and I saw a Yuki Tsunoda in the news today. He's the first one to come out and say, oh, new curbs are huge. If you go up to the curb, it's fine. But if you go over them, our cars are running so low, it'll damage them. Well, good Yuki. Good
Yuki, yes. Good.
Let's have curbs that damage you if you go over them. So there might be some controversy. There might be a lot of Kuwaiti machines filing off the tops of curbs on Friday night and Saturday.
Kuwaiti?
But it's a...
Qatari, you mean?
Qatari. Or,
yeah.
And of course, they got this 10-year contract they've signed. They bought World Sports Cars. They bought the opening round. And World, so there'll be no spectators watching. There's only the main grandstand on the huge straight. Where there are any spectators at all, the whole curdy in the desert.
Give it time. It will.
It's boring.
It'll get bigger and better. And they listen to feedback. They listen to feedback. They're making changes. They're trying to improve.
Then go and build a new track. The whole story was they were going to build a city centre street track. And they always said that Losail was only a temporary track and we're going to have a new street track. Well, they haven't built a new street track. And I think World Sports Cars will look very bad there. And
Formula One. I watched England versus Senegal at the sale, actually, at the same, well, obviously
it?
The same area. Yeah. I think
is that
one
relevant
one
to anything?
No, it's just a place, isn't it? Losail. What else we got next week?
So, Bathurst, wake up to, I don't know what time, I think it's usually on the telly. We can usually certainly get it downloaded live. It's Bathurst 1000.
So that's like the big one of the year. So you got Le Mans, you got Monaco Grand Prix, you got Indy 500,
Bathurst. If you're down in Australia. And it's this massive, you know, Chevrolet versus Ford. Of course, it used to be Holden versus Ford, but now, of course, it's Chevy with the Camaros versus the Mustangs. And there's this huge balance of power controversy. Because the Chevys have won everything all year. I think the Fords eventually won one race, but the Fords wanted this some suspension change to change the aero. They all turned up at Bathurst with the piece ready to go on the cars, pleaded with the organisers to let them have this modification. But the rules say that any modification must go through a wind tunnel checking before you're allowed to put it on. It's been rejected. So the Fords are not happy. And it's all going to kick off a bit. But who knows? Maybe the Fords will shoot the track after all. But a lot of disquiet for the Ford teams down in Bathurst. But still, the beers will be drinking. They'll be up on the mountain for hours.
My nephews will be there. Thomas and Lewis, they'll both be there watching. And Darren, my brother-in-law. So hello to you guys. They listen to this podcast.
But of course, it's also the penultimate round of the championship. So also it's points for the, you know, you have to share a driver. So all the main drivers have picked their co-drivers. So it's a two-driver race, but it's still part of the championship for the drivers all season. So you have to put your big trust in picking a co-driver that's not going to lose you the driver's championship. Because that's only got one race to go after this, I think. They go to Adelaide, which is a fantastic track. The old Adelaide Formula One track.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm not sure where else they go. They go to Adelaide.
You haven't raced at all in Australia, have you, Tiff?
No, it's a country I missed out on racing very annoyingly. Yeah. And the other, of course, big drama is the British Touring Car Championship decider.
Oh,
Grand Prix Circuit. Same for Supers. This is two weekends on the trot where you have to be in Britain at Brands Hatch. And if you're going to watch, I saw there was someone that asked what's his name? Touring car commentator, where you should watch from. He said everywhere.
Paul O'Neill.
I shall tell you exactly where to go. So if you're listening to us, the tip, if you go to the Clearways, so you go outside of Clearways in front of the huge office block as you go into the circuit, is where I went as a 16-year-old watching 1,000-kilometer sports cars, racing champions. I used to get there at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. to get a place on the fence where you cling in the freezing cold of early March for the racing champions. Because there you see the last corner, you see the start from behind, and you also look across and you see them going through South Bank, heading out to the Grove. So that is the only place to go.
Brands is a great place to watch from anywhere, really. But yes, that's a good advice from you. And in terms of Brands Hatch, this weekend, BTCC, so don't miss that. Next weekend, British Superbikes, don't miss that. Then have a weekend off. And then the last weekend of the month, I'm racing there, but we'll announce it next week what I'm going to be racing. So,
did they not offer me first? What?
I'll have a word with the powers of me.
Well, thanks
for the reserve list.
Thanks, as always, podcast continues. Yes. Please, WASP, copy paste all those things you're supposed to do. Things that
I think we should change the name to Paul and Tiff's Chaotic Podcast instead of On the Grid. That's much better. Thanks as always. We'll see you next week, and we'll be on time on Monday next week.
Cheers.